In the great halls of USA Today, we assemble the newsroom's mightiest nerds. Brett Molina.
I'm so sorry for the producer of this podcast.
Kelly Lawler.
I will fight you on it.
Brian Truitt.
Spoiler town!
Together, they form the Mothership. Their mission? To harness their collective encyclopedic knowledge of nerdiness in all its forms. To dissect every trailer, plot twist, and game released for the geekiest of fans. The Mothership, saving the universe from bad comic book adaptations every Friday.
All aboard the Mothership, the Geek Culture Podcast from the USA Today Network. Thank you so much for joining us, and happy Friday, friends.
Happy Friday.
Let's meet the crew. I'm Brett Molina. I play video games, and if I were Star Wars title, I would be The Empire Strikes Back, which is how I would probably describe how I discipline my children.
I'm Kelly Lawler. I watch television, and if I were a Star Wars title, I would be The Phantom Menace, because you think I'm scary and terrifying, and then I'm not.
Well, there you go. If this is your first time listening, welcome. New episodes of The Mothership drop every Friday, and you can subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you like to listen. If you're on Apple Podcasts, can we Jedi mind trick you into maybe writing a quick review about the show?
These are the reviews you are looking for. That was bad. I'm sorry. Don't base your review off of that. Thank you.
By doing so, you'll help other fans who love nerdy pop culture and Star Wars like we do find the show. And as a thank you, we will give you a very special shout out on the next episode. For example, we have a new review to share from JOW0319. I hope I'm pronouncing all this right. But anyway, they say the show is geek nirvana with voices. We are truly blessed and grateful. Thank you so very much. So try it out. See what happens. Tell us what you think about the show and what you want to see moving forward. And we love the feedback. It's all upside. Everybody wins. Don't forget, along with leaving a review, you can get in touch with us on Twitter. We're at Mothership Pod. Or you can send us an email to mothershippod@usatoday.com. This week, something is rising, and it might just be a Skywalker. Here's a clip.
We've passed on all we know. 1,000 generations live in you now. But this is your find.
That was from the very first trailer for Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker, episode 9 of the beloved franchise, which was released last week at Star Wars Celebration. Brian was there, and he's not on this week because he's actually recovering from being in Chicago, but you absolutely need to check out everything he's done at life.usatoday.com. He has written a ton of stuff off of Celebration, and you will love every bit of it. Today, Kelly and I are going to talk about everything Star Wars, what we think of the title, the first trailer, how the franchise is moving, and all that other fun stuff. First off, overall, Star Wars Celebration. Kelly, what did you think of everything that was announced?
I got generally positive vibes out of the convention. There was a lot to do. There were a lot of expectations, and I think they pulled it off rather well.
It's tough with an event like that because there's so much stuff they have to cover. And you also have as the backdrop a lot of the Disney Plus stuff that was announced mm-hmm. a couple days before. So there's a lot happening, but...
Synergy.
Ka-ching. I think they covered all their bases well. I think, you know, you had one day for the Star Wars trailer stuff and then you had the TV stuff. And, you know, I think they spread it out pretty nicely. So, yeah, it was really good. So let's get to the movie, episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker. What do we think of the title? What does it mean? Kelly, what's your hot take on this?
So I'm hoping it means that Skywalker is more like a title and that J.J. Abrams won't undo my favorite part of The Last Jedi, where Rey is a nobody and not related to any of the main characters from the original trilogy. I don't know if that's what it means, but that's what I hope it means. It's not my favorite title. I feel like it's weird to say because Skywalker is in it and it feels so specific, although maybe it won't end up being that. But I just feel like most of the times the titles are like, you know, The Force Awakens. What awakens? Who? When? Where? Why? You know, Empire Strikes Back. Actually, that is more specific. I don't know. It just feels weird. But I think that because these titles become so ubiquitous, the first time we hear them, it's like, feels weird in your mouth.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you. I think that it is kind of a title. It felt like at the end of The Last Jedi, Luke was becoming a little disenchanted with the Jedi in general. And this feels like a good transition where it's like Rey sees him as kind of the inspiration and kind of the legacy that she wants to continue to live on. So I can see Skywalker being the new Jedi, basically.
And I mean, like, even in the world of Star Wars names, Skywalker doesn't sound like a name so much as it already kind of sounds like a title, which someone pointed out on Twitter last week, and I don't remember who it was, so I'm sorry for not giving credit. But then it brings me all the way back to, like, The Phantom Menace, which not a lot of people don't like, but did establish this whole Immaculate Conception thing with Shmi Skywalker, who was Anakin's mom, and, like, maybe we can undo some of that, which was, like, annoying by, like, because, like, why is her name Skywalker? Like, where does that come from? No one else had that kind of name.
The other theory that I read online, and I'm trying to remember the writer who brought it up on Twitter, what if Rey is a clone? Is that possible?
Ooh.
Would that also explain Anakin? Would Anakin also be a clone then? Because they talk about the Immaculate Conception. And is that a possibility that maybe with the inclusion of Palpatine, was there any kind of clone thing happening?
I think that's really interesting. I don't think they'll go there. Like, gut instinct, right when you said it right now, doesn't seem like a risk that JJ would take. But I'm really interested in that.
Like, I could see that could be really fascinating, but also, yeah. And I also wonder if that's the workaround, too, for Skywalker. Mm-hmm. But I also like the idea more of the title thing, where it's like, it's meant to be a tribute to Luke and that legacy, you know? So, yeah, I mean, I just thought it was a really fascinating theory. I'd love to see if they actually did it, but who knows? So we waited a very long time to see the first glimpse at episode 9. Do you think it was worth the wait?
Now that I know that they were sitting on the Palpatine news, I think it was a really good strategy, because had they released the trailer, like, you know, into the ether, like they did with The Force Awakens, they did a short teaser over, like, Thanksgiving weekend a year ahead of time, and there was nothing really to go with it. I think we would have all been obsessing over the laugh and, like, you know, analyzing sound waves from Ian McDiarmid's, like, voice recordings versus the laugh and who was it. And, like, you know, I think it was smart to do that when you could bring Ian McDiarmid out on stage and, like, talk about it a little bit without giving anything away. That seemed like a really smart way to do it. That is still fun, and it didn't, like, the in the trailer, it was still very effective without over-explaining it there, but then you got to explain it at a convention. That all seemed very right to me.
I felt like that trailer paid off the first few seconds in when you see Rey doing, like, the backflip over.
I love her so much.
Kylo Ren's ship. I was just like, oh my God. Like, that's the thing about these trailers. First off, it's just when you think you can't be dazzled any further, they figure out a way to do it. And that was just the perfect way to start that trailer. And then the other part of it, too, is with all these Star Wars trailers, you know, they're the masters at revealing everything and nothing at the same time. Like, they reveal, you get so much information out of that trailer, but there's still so many unanswered questions and there's so many things to dig into. And once we think we might have something figured out, it could be something totally different. And so I think that's another thing about these trailers that's great.
Also, because they included that shot of Carrie Fisher that is from deleted footage from The Force Awakens, it was also good to have that where JJ could explain that, because I know that people are worried about that, and I'm specifically really worried that they'll augment it with CGI. So you know, it's just nice to reassure people. Normally, I don't think that creators of art have to explain themselves to fans. When it comes to, like, the death of someone as beloved as Carrie Fisher and, like, venturing into new territory of trying to shoehorn them into a story, I think it's good to, like, talk about your, you know, to fess up to the process.
Yeah. It was also a really touching moment in that trailer,
too. And she's crying.
I know. It was, it was too much. It was too much. I didn't see that. And you knew that she was going to be in the movie, but I still didn't see it coming. And then when you see it, it's just very, like, gut-wrenching. Like,
yeah.
Oh, my God. I can't believe she's gone. So now we know that Palpatine is back. What do you think about that? I think it's great. I think it kind of makes sense because the way he, quote unquote, perishes in, you know, Return of the Jedi, it's very ambiguous.
Uh-huh.
So you don't see a dead body or anything like that. So it's pretty clear they left the door open. And I like that he's coming back. I like that he kind of feels like the thread that has tied everything together in this whole thing.
Absolutely. I love it. I've always loved him as a villain because I think Ian McDiarmid is a really, really great actor who just has one of those faces, not necessarily like a punchable face, which I love to talk about on this podcast, but just like a straight up evil face. Like, how did they not know? Like, how did Natalie Portman just not know right away in The Phantom Menace that he's the worst? And I love that he will have like aged appropriately. And I just think it's fun because Snoke was so lame. And they can pull around again and kind of like rewrite that and like maybe make the First Order more interesting, because also it was like such an Empire light thing. And I just like kind of didn't get it from like a logical standpoint. Like, maybe this is me admitting that I'm dumb, but I'm just like, who, what, when, where, why? Where did they come from? How did they amass money? Not that we ever really talk about what money means in Star Wars, except for trade negotiations. But how did they amass the money to like build their weird planet Death Star thing and like get all these people? And like, were they do they, people really like fascism in the Star Wars universe? They're just like all about fascism all the time. So I would love to get some of those logical fallacies filled in for myself. Thanks very much.
Yeah. So, you know, The Rise of Skywalker episode 9, does this feel like this is the end of Skywalker? I mean, we talked about the titles and stuff like that. I feel like Skywalker is going to live on as a name and a title and stuff like that. But what do you think about whether, are we really done with this?
Right. So they're like talking about it like it's the end of the like trilogies, the episodes 1 through 9 is like a cohesive story. And then Star Wars is going in other directions after this. I think that they're definitely doing that because they got a lot of plates in the air. But like, there's no way that if it feels like this is what they need to get like the money back on track, that they won't like bring in some like Skywalkers or like Han Solo's third cousin, or you know what I mean? Or that they don't have Daisy and Oscar and John under a contract that means they might have to do a movie in 10 years. I just think that they won't. Like, Star Wars is a cash cow, but I think as Rogue One and Solo have proven, it's not the OG is the OG. Like, it's what people really care about, and spinoffs are spinoffs. So they set up the Avengers in Marvel on the other side of Disney's corporate behemoth so that there's, like, a next generation, and they can keep using the word Avengers, and like it seems like a natural progression. So I feel like they'll probably do something like that, but I just don't see Disney like loosening its grips on the original story.
Well, you kind of touch on something too. I feel like Star Wars is trying to Marvelize a little bit of its kind of films and stuff, and I think, yeah, like you said, it works best as the movies are the anchor and you are telling certain stories here, and then you use all the other mediums to tell all the other side stuff. I mean, you know, if you're going to make Skywalker the title, then, I mean, that name's going to live on for however long.
Exactly.
And however many forms. Not only that, I mean, this franchise has always been good about leaving a lot of things open. So that way, if you want to dive into different everything, you can do that. It's fairly easy. And again, I mean, Disney paid a ton of money for this franchise. So I can't see them not doing a ton of different stuff. I think they're going to cut back maybe on the film stuff and focus more on the Disney Plus TV stuff and maybe do a lot more there.
Well, yeah. So because Disney Plus is such a corporate priority right now, that's why you're seeing them say, like, oh, like, there's going to be a little hiatus of Star Wars movies. And then, like, the stupid-ass David Benioff and D.B. Weiss movies, the Game of Thrones guys, it's the worst. It's the worst decision Disney has ever made. The worst decision. I really, really, really hope it goes the way of Colin Trevorrow and they get fired. I'm sure they're nice people, but they're bad at telling stories about women. Anywho, bad at telling some stories in general. It's fine. It's fine. I have a really strange relationship with Game of Thrones. And then Rian Johnson will get his eventually, which I'm very, very excited about because he's proven himself to be a really excellent storyteller. But yeah, they really want to move your excitement and eyeballs and pockets to Disney Plus. And I think one of the things that they have probably learned from experimenting with putting Marvel on television with Netflix and ABC and Freeform and Hulu, that's all of them, what they've learned is that it never gets as much attention as the movies. And I think what they're trying to do is by, for a while, making the only new Star Wars on Disney Plus. It won't ever be as big, but it'll be a lot bigger, I think. And I think that's why, like, the Marvel shows are also ending. Because, and then they're putting the bigger Marvel guys on Disney Plus because they learned that, like, people really like Daredevil, but, like, only the people who already really liked Daredevil, essentially, like, really went to that Netflix show.
Yeah.
And it's about your A-list. And if you want, you got to put your A-list where you want your eyeballs to be.
Yeah, exactly. So Mandalorian, that was another...
Speaking of Disney Plus.
Exactly. That was one of the big TV series that's going to be out on Disney Plus, and we got a lot of details on it from the celebration. What do you think about Mandalorian?
So it's going to take place after Return of the Jedi, as like the galaxy is in chaos. And I think that's a really interesting place to go because... As I was talking about how I feel like we need to fill in the blanks of like how the hell the First Order became a thing, I think it's a really interesting direction to go because in the original trilogy, they worked to bring down a fascist regime, but they didn't necessarily think about what happens after. And, you know, if Star Wars is going to be fleshed out, we need to stop like glossing over those details. Like if it's going to be a really full-fledged universe, then it's got to be fully realized. So that's interesting to me. I'm, like, still low-key mad that, like, they had Jon Favreau do this show. Like, I like Jon Favreau. He's really talented. But, you know, we keep talking about trying to get women to be directors and writers for Star Wars. And they're always talking about how they need someone, like, experienced and blah, 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 who can handle Star Wars. Jon Favreau's directed a lot of movies, but he's never worked on a television show in this capacity. So why is that the experience he requires? Like... Do you know how many female showrunners are out there that would have been really great at this? So it bothered me from the day it was announced. It still bothers me now. I'm sure it's going to be a good TV show and he probably can do it. And there are a lot of other good people involved, like Taika Waititi directed an episode. But it's just like, I'm like not over it. And I don't know if I'm going to be over it ever. Like, it's just dumb. It's just another excuse not to do it because they like suck.
Yeah, it's no, I mean, it's unfortunate. And yeah, well, I mean, we'll see once The Mandalorian comes out. I mean, the other thing, too, that I was thinking about was, you know, there isn't a lot of Star Wars TV. I mean, outside the animated stuff, which is really good. I mean, they've had a lot of stuff on Disney XD and they've had a lot of good animated series that are based on Star Wars that have done really well. Live action type stuff. I'm cautiously optimistic.
Looks expensive.
It definitely does. But again, it's like TV is long form storytelling. And can you pull that off with Star Wars? And can you do it in a way that's interesting? Spend all the money you want. At some point, you got to have a good story to tell.
Well, it's so interesting because actually today, I just saw this clip of Mark Hamill. He was on Late Night with Seth Meyers last night. And he was telling this story about Harrison Ford and when they were filming the original Star Wars movie. And they filmed a scene right after the trash compactor scene first, because, you know, they don't film scenes in order when they do movies. It's more complicated than that. And apparently Mark Hamill says, like, is like thinking of continuity. He's like, shouldn't my hair be like wet and messy and gross because I got pulled underwater in the trash compactor? And apparently Harrison Ford like said to him, it's not that kind of movie. And here's Mark Hamill talking about that.
And he turns to me and says, hey, kid, It ain't that kind of movie. If people are looking at your hair, we're all in big trouble.
And I thought, he's so right.
He's so right.
And next time I saw him, he said, hey,
I don't sound anything like that.
His Harrison Ford impression is obviously really great, which is like the headline from the Seth Meyers people. But thinking about that, to me, it's like, oh, yeah, they're all like, oh, yeah, it's not that kind of movie. It's just like fun and crazy. You don't have to think about continuity and stuff. On television, you really have to think about that stuff. So you can't be really flippant with details anymore. So that does worry me, and which is why it would have been really great to get someone involved who's like really skilled at doing long-form television storytelling.
Not to mention, you have a lot of very sophisticated sci-fi TV, like a Star Trek and Battlestar and all these other shows that are very, very good. And I think that although it's Star Wars, I do kind of think that those are the standards that people kind of are looking at, I think. Mm-hmm. So, and that's kind of what I want out of the Star Wars series. So we'll see what happens.
Do you know what fictional TV universe is the tightest ship that never misses a beat and is able to bring back characters from like years and years ago and keep its continuity perfect? You're never going to guess.
Probably not. I want to say it's Battlestar, but I know I'm wrong.
You're wrong. It's the Good Wife, Good Fight universe.
Really?
They are able to bring back like judges from The Good Wife onto The Good Fight and like random attorneys. Like Aaron Tveit is like on it after he's been on it like twice before with like years in between. And they have their own version of like Trump and like the whole government and like trying to interact with them. And it's perfect.
That is the show I did not absolutely have in my brain at all.
No, so. I knew you wouldn't.
Totally.
That's why I did it.
So, looking at Star Wars in the future, because the story now, it's not just one big monolithic story. It's fractured. There's a lot of different directions it can go. Is it good that we're going this way? Is this more about Disney just really wanting to cash in on Star Wars now that it has the property? What do you think?
I think it's definitely a corporate strategy, like 100%. But also, so monoculture is dying in general. On TV, Game of Thrones will be the last show, really, that's as broad-based and zeitgeisty and well-known and well-loved. You see it, movies dwindling down to these big tent poles and events. You see it in music being like the thing that had to bring all of music together was like that Beyonce Netflix special, not just like a release of someone who you think is really popular. Like Pink has an album coming out next week, I think. It's going to be like, whatever. So I think Disney is trying to bring something broader, something more monoculture-y, to use the technical term, to television. And that is exciting for me as someone who is thinking about job security. I need a lot of people to click on something, but if not, a lot of people watch it. but like also in general, like a lot of people are looking for recommendations from me when they talk to me, but I would love to just talk about something we already have in common. And I think that Disney Plus might be the way, and driven by like a lot of Star Wars right now. So we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a little bit of both. I mean, they spent what, $4 billion, I think, on Lucasfilm. So, you know, they're trying to cash in on their investment. So obviously, I mean, we knew this from the beginning when they bought Lucasfilm, that this was going to be, they're going to want to cash in. They're going to saturate the market with everything Star Wars. Big surprise. But, you know, I like that it's spread out. And I like, you know, and Star Wars has always kind of been that way in a way. Like we've had comics and books and other stuff.
Oh, absolutely. And like the expanded universe that is no longer canon, but it's still great, was really wonderful for a lot of people. That's almost bringing that sort of small part of like a subculture. Like, you know, it wasn't everyone who went to see the movies didn't know about the books even, let alone read them. But they will all know about these TV shows.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Even if they don't watch them. So that's cool to me that like expanding a universe and diving into side characters and stuff is like an old nerdy genre thing, and it's becoming more mainstream, and that's cool to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, There are a lot of worse things that Star Wars has done, like the holiday special, and there was this old Kinect video game where Han Solo's doing some god-awful 70s dance. I don't even remember. But anyway, if it can survive all that, I think everything else is gravy. It's fine. They're going to be fine.
Teach Harrison Ford how to floss.
Oh, God. That would be something. Okay, real quick before we wrap up, because we talked a lot about Disney+. Are we subscribing to this or what?
I mean, like, there are so many streaming services. Can they just give it to me, please? That's my job.
Honestly, I was skeptical at first until they said the price. I think it was like $7 a month, $6.99 a month, or it's $69 for the year. That's an incredible deal considering
that everything. That is an incredible deal. Disney dropped the mic and Apple especially is shaking in its boots.
Like that, and for all the properties it owns for that price, that is phenomenal. And I mean, day one, and you think of everything they have on there between the movies and then all the old Disney Channel stuff. Yeah. And
if you're still sharing your parents' Netflix account and thus don't know how much that costs, for comparison's sake, the most popular price tier is $12.99.
Yeah. Here's the other thing, too, that I think is going to be very interesting. They talked about they're going to introduce a bundle with Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN Plus. That, I think, will be very fascinating because depending on what they price that at, that is a very, very good deal for all three.
Disney is now the majority shareholder of Hulu.
Yes, that is a very, very good deal depending on what they offer for that. So I'm going to be really interested to see what that bundle is and what they have available. And that, I mean, I think Netflix is going to be a little nervous. I've got to believe they're a little nervous about all this, especially once that bundle comes out. But we'll see.
We'll see.
Okay, listeners, it's your turn. We want to hear from you. What did you think of the Rise of Skywalker trailer? What do you think of the title? Are you excited about the future of Star Wars? Are you subscribing to Disney Plus? Are you as excited about a Phineas and Ferb movie as I am and my kids?
Stargirl movie?
Yes,
Star
that
Girl
too.
Movie?
Yes, yes. Let us know on Twitter. You can find us at Mothership Pod, or you can tweet at us individually. I'm at Brett Molina 23.
I'm at Kalawls, Kalawls.
And Brian Truitt, who was at Star Wars Celebration, you can ask him anything you want at Brian Truitt. So he probably will answer all your questions about everything that happened in Chicago. Don't forget, you can email us too. We're at mothershippod@usatoday.com. That will do it this week. Thanks so much for listening. Special thanks to our pilot/producers of the Mothership this week, Shannon Green and Natalie Boyd. If you like the podcast and don't want to miss an episode moving forward, you can subscribe to the Mothership for free on Apple Podcasts. And while you're there, how about leave us a review and a rating? It helps other people find the pod. And we would totally appreciate it.
Be like JOW0319, sir.
The force is strong with that listener.
Or ma'am. Sorry.
If Apple Podcasts isn't your jam, you can also find us on SoundCloud or Stitcher or pretty much any app that you listen to podcasts on. We're there for you. But that'll do it. Until next week, nerds out.
See ya.